Pashas VeYeshev. The Pasha begins with the events that preceded the Mechira of Yosef, and then the story of the tragic selling of Yosef. The brothers threw him into the pit and they pulled him out and they sold him to the Yishmaelim, the Midianim, till Yosef eventually came down to Mitzrayim. And then the Torah tells us a parasha, which is a parasha susuma, very difficult parasha to understand. We find right after these events, Vayered Yehuda Me'es Echov, Yehuda was demoted at that time. And the brothers felt, as Chazal tell us, they felt let down by Yehuda. Yehuda was the representative of leadership, Gur Aryeh Yehuda. And Yehuda could have possibly, they felt, avoided this terrible sin of Mechiras Yosef and the pain that was inflicted on their father had he exhorted them to bring Yosef out of the pit and back to their father. And so Yehuda was left alone, Vayered Yehuda Meis Echav, and the Torah tells us exactly what took place and how he married this woman Shua and had three children. And then he searched for an appropriate zivug, a marriage partner for his first son, Er. And he took Tamar, the daughter of Shem, a very righteous woman. And after Er died, the Torah describes his sin as a sinful person. He dies tragically. And so Yehuda gave Tamar to Onan, his second son. And then Onan died, and he deferred giving her to the third son, Shelah. Ad ki yigdal Shelah b'ni, he gave an excuse, he's going to wait till Shelah grows up. But Yehuda, it says, his wife died and he was in a very difficult, constrained situation. And he went up, by Yenochem, the Torah says he went up to Timnah, Logos Sinai, to shear his sheep. And his daughter-in-law dressed, she took off her big day almonos from her, and the Torah describes exactly what took place. Such a difficult parasha to read or to understand. The Torah describes in all its sordid detail how Tamar dressed up, covered her head. Vayachshaveh lezoina, ki kisses upon her. Yehuda was sure that she's a prostitute, she's a zoina. Vayet elah el hadorach, and he consorted with her. And beforehand she said, Matitin liki sovi eloi, what's my payment? And he says, I'll give you a gdi izim. So she says, I will consent, im titain e rovein ad shalchecha, unless you have to give me some kind of a pledge, what are you going to give me? So he asked, well, what do you want? And she said, I want to hold as a pledge your signet, your ring, your psilcha, your belt, Umatcha, and your staff, Ashebi Yodecha, which is in your hand. And he gave it to her. And the Torah describes exactly what took place. He didn't know that he had had relationship with his daughter-in-law. And then, when he was told that his daughter-in-law is pregnant, Liznunim, he judged her Lamisa. And as she was taken out, she didn't want to embarrass him. She was willing to sacrifice her life and the life of her children inside of her. And she held up. She was able to locate at the last minute the three things, the chesemes and the psilim and the matter. And she said, Hakena, can you recognize it? Vayake Yehuda recognized who they belonged to, and he realized he was the one who had impregnated her. And he said, Sot komimeni, she's more righteous than me. And from then on, the Torah describes exactly how the children were born, and how Peretz was born. He pushed his way out before his brother Zarach. Very fascinating parasha. When we read this parasha, we think, wow, the Aves HaKadoshim, Yehuda, the Shvatim, they were also ordinary mortals and subject to the same weaknesses of the human condition as everybody else. But of course, we understand and we know the Torah is Arucha Me'eretz Mido Uruchava Mimnei Yom. The Torah is endless, and everything that we learn, we're just scraping the tip of the iceberg, the surface of the ocean, a drop in the sea. And of course, everything that the Torah shares with us also has a practical application and a practical lesson that we can glean and apply to our lives. What can we read between the lines in this parasha that can enrich our lives and strengthen our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Of course, we understand that when we read this parasha, Tamar and Yehuda were great people beyond our conception. And Tamar yearned with all her heart and with all her might to connect to the Zerah Shel Avraham, to connect to Yehuda, to her father-in-law. And we see how righteous she was. She was willing to sacrifice her life rather than embarrass her father-in-law. And Chazal tell us, Kol ha'oime Yehuda chata eina ela toya. Yehuda didn't sin. A malach dechofoi. A malach pushed him towards her. Vayet eleho ela dorach. He was pushed. And we understand when we read the parasha that, of course, it's alluding to things which are much deeper and beyond us. The Gdi Edim, Izim, is a reference to Klal Yisrael, things that are beyond us. She wanted to hold on at the moment that she conceived from him. To his Midah of Malchus, she wanted to bring the Melech HaMashiach, introduce the seed of the Melech HaMashiach into the world. And the Melech HaMashiach is distinct and distinguished through his Chosem, through his individual signet ring, his psil, and his matter and his staff with which he connects Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And through holding on to it, that was the Eirovin that was Ma'arav and connected her to Yehuda. She was able to realize her dream and bring the Zerah Shel Mashiach into the world. And we read the parasha, it's so clouded in mystery. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly wanted that the Zerah Shel Mashiach should come into the world in this manner, precisely because the Melech HaMashiach has the task of elevating the most distant sparks, the most distant neshamas, those that are standing b'kseh hashamayim. And so Yehuda, in this lowly and difficult and challenged state and frame of mind, had to bring in that state the Melech HaMashiach. And so too, Tamar had to introduce the Melech HaMashiach through total selflessness and bittul and a willingness to give up her life. And Yehuda expressed his midah of hoidaya, of acceptance, acknowledgement, truth, repentance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he said, Sotko mimeni. But perhaps what is relevant to us and has practical application is when we reflect that in truth the Melech Mashiach only arose 10 generations later. As Chazal tell us, Peretz gave birth to Chetrain and Ram, Aminodov, and so on, Nachshain until Boaz, and then till Ovid, Yishai, and David. It was 10 generations later that the Melech Mashiach, David Melech Yisrael, emerged. And the Midrash expresses it so beautifully. What do we learn from here? What do we learn from this parasha? We survey the landscape at that particular time, and it looked so tragic, so topsy-turvy, so upside down. Here we find Reuven is osuk pesakei v'ta'anisoi. Reuven is in pain. Al shel bilbil yitzuei yoviv. Yaakov vayimoin lehisnachem. Yaakov is sitting in mourning and shiva. Yosef is in Mitzrayim, struggling with Eishes Potiphar and being thrown into the Beis HaSoya. Yehuda ya'osak likach le'isha, and Yehuda is engaged and involved in the things that he's involved in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hoya oisek boira oila oiroi shel Melech HaMashiach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is preparing and paving the pathway for the Melech HaMashiach. And what we learn when we read a little bit beneath the lines of this parasha is, events are transpiring down here in this world, and they seem incomprehensible on the surface. We look at them, and it seems tragic and calamitous. But we have to know that up above, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is orchestrating events and engineering everything so that ultimately, at the end, much further than our line of vision, the true Olam HaTikun will emerge and light will burst forth from the darkness. We find this theme so beautifully expressed last week in the Parsha. Yaakov Avinu is coming back after 20 years of Beis Lavan. 20 years of grueling, excruciatingly difficult, Avodas HaKodesh, Avodas Hashem, Gnufti Yoim, Gnufti Loila. And finally, he's returning home. He shakes off the evil designs of Lavan. He encounters Esav, and he successfully fights with the Malach of Esav, Kisorisa im Elikim v'im Anoshim v'tuchol. And he engages Esav in person, and he's able to shake him off too, preparing a pathway for all future generations to be able to maintain a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the face of all the provocations and all the blandishments that Esav can throw in our pathway. Ve'yovei Yaakov Sholem. Yaakov is returning home whole. B'gufoi, b'momoinoi, b'nishmasoi. And then, all of a sudden, out of the blue, he's about to enter his parents' presence, his father's home, triumphant, victorious. And tragedy strikes. Vateitzei Dina bas Leah. Dina, the daughter of Leah, steps out from the hallowed environment of her father's tent, and she goes liris bibnos haaretz. She wants to see the people of the land, and she's abducted and violated by Shechem in such a horrific way. And the events that ensue, mind-boggling, how Shimon and Levi wiped out the city of Shechem, and Yaakov had to flee, and had special divine protection, v'yichitas alikim ala orim. Yaakov was able to come back to Yitzchak's home. And we read this, it's so painful to read. After all, just at the final stretch of this historic journey, this terrible tragedy should happen. Who's to blame? How did this happen? We read the words of Chazal, and they are medayek. They point an accusing finger at Dina, the mother of Leah. They say, Vateitze Dina, bas Leah, asher yolda li Yaakov. She's the daughter of Leah. That is where the point of blame seems to be directed. Leah yotzanis haisa. Leah acted inappropriately. She stepped out of the tent, kol kvud, in order to greet Yaakov, in order to consort with him. Kol kvuda bas melech pnima. A Jewish daughter is not going to step out. She finds security and delight within the confines of the home. She's a princess. She doesn't need to broadcast a body. She doesn't need to go out lirois bibnos haaretz to enjoy the prevailing culture. And so Dina is somewhat here considered part of the picture, part of the blame. Vateitze Dina bas Leah. Dina went out. She was the bas Leah. She was already genetically predisposed to stepping out. Then Chazal say, there's a little bit of accusation or a little bit of responsibility that's directed to Yaakov. Asher yolda le Yaakov. Because Yaakov put her in a box. Just in the previous parsha, Vedino Heichon Hoysa, when Esav stood before him and everyone bowed down, we don't find Dina bowing down, because Dina said Yaakov wanted to protect her and put her in a box in order that this Rasha, Esav, shouldn't feast his eyes on her and desire her and take her as a wife. And Yaakov was held somewhat accountable for that. After all, Dina is the daughter of Leah, and Leah originally, according to the original divine plan, was the perfect partner for Esav. And only when Esav slipped away, vayivez Esav es habchora, and he reneged on his divine mission, was Leah, and Yaakov took over Esav's divine mission, was Yaakov supposed to marry Leah as well. But Dina, the daughter of Leah, could have possibly been a zivug, a marriage partner for Esav, and returned him to Teshuvah. And Yaakov took too much preventative measures. Of course, these chatoim of Leah and Yaakov are beyond our conception, but on their level, bedake dakas, on a very exalted level, they were somewhat considered responsible. And we look at this and we think, well, also Dina as well. Poor Dina, she was put in a box. What do you want from her? It's natural that she should be curious to see what is on the other side of the fence, on the other side of the reservation. We think it's almost like someone who's struggling with certain emotional challenges or issues, and they go to a psychologist, and the psychologist will point out, well, your father was too demanding, too controlling, this happened, your mother was too stifling of you, or she implanted in you this particular behavioral conditioning that was wrong, that prompted you to act the way you acted, and you yourself are subject to certain conditions. And that's all true. We have to know why we act in order to be able to rectify our behavior. But we also have to know that there's an entirely different scene that's playing out in Shemayim. The Midrash tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was preparing through this saga a zivuk for Yosef HaTzadik. When Dina was pulled out of Shechem by Shimon, she was pregnant. Shechem had impregnated her. And Yaakov and the Shvatim didn't know what to do with this child when she was born, a little girl. And they placed a tas with the Shem HaMeforash written on it, engraved on it, and they placed it on the child. And the child miraculously was lifted up and transported to Mitzrayim, landed at the doorstep of Potiphar, Kohen Oyen. And as Yosef was in the house of Potiphar at that very time, his future wife, Osnas bas Potiphera Kohen Oin, was being reared and raised in the house. So that just like all the Shvatim found their zivug, their completion, with their sisters, so too Yosef was designated a marriage partner. HaKadosh Baruch was preparing for him the perfect zivug, so that in Mitzrayim, who's he going to marry and raise? Shivtei Kar, Ephraim, Umenashe, Uven, Veshimon, Yehuli. How's that going to happen? It's impossible. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's preparing events. Yosef HaTzadik had to marry an Ishesit Konias, a woman who, similar to Yosef, was implanted within her the chet of the chivi, of Shechem ben Chamor HaChivi, all the force of materialism, and she was going to overcome that and connect to the legacy and the characteristics of her mother Dina. That union brought Ephraim and Manasseh into the world. And b'chol yivorech Yisrael, we bench all our children, yisimcha elikim ke Ephraim u'Manasseh, that they should realize and touch the level and emulate the character of Ephraim and Manasseh, who even in such an alien environment in Mitzrayim were able to realize such rarefied, sanctified levels of Kedusha like the Shiftei Kar. And so the message is very clear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us there's a Hanhoga HaTachtoina. And down here in this world, everything can seem upside down. Down here in this world, we can even be making the mistakes that turn everything upside down. And we can be culpable and responsible to some level. But we have to know that at the same time, it seems it's incompatible, but it's not. There's a Hanhoga Ha'elyoina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing it all together. His Yoshev Oisek Ba'oiroi Shel Oilam. He's weaving a tapestry. It's like, I once heard a beautiful mashal. It's like a Persian rug, a delicate, intricately woven rug. When we look at the rug from underneath, it looks so ugly, it looks so messy. Each strand, each knot, seems to be hanging independent of the others, ugly, out of place. And yet if we take out one knot, the whole thing will unravel. Each of our lives, each slice and chapter of history represents that particular knot. And down here to us from underneath, where the oil of the Shekhinah is concealed and obfuscated, it may look ugly. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on top, and he sees the whole spread till the end of time, and he's preparing it so that the world should continue until the Olam HaTikun, when it will be revealed that every stitch and every thread, that every challenge and every tragedy was all integral to bringing about the Ori Shel Mashiach. What a beautiful and what a critically important lesson for us to absorb. And how apropos we read this parashas as we get closer to the celebrating the Chag of Chanukah. The year two represents cycles of Oyer and Choshech. In life, we live through times of Oyer in order to be able to connect and solidify our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam in times of darkness, in times of Choshech. The summer leads to the winter leads to the summer. Lahagid baboika chazdecha, we declare your kindness in the morning, says Rabbi Elapian, in order the emunas chabalelis, so that when we're tested at night, we should be able to hold on with faith. And so our calendar begins with Pesach Yitzias Mitzrayim, Chodesh Ha'aviv, where everything is in bloom and blossom. And it's the embryonic stage, the kiddushin, the beginning of our marriage with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lech teich acharai b'amidbar be'eretz lo zarua. And we solidify and cement our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. At Kabbalah HaTorah, we accept the ksuva and the responsibilities of the marriage. And then finally we enter the sukkah. Married life with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yach bi'enu tzel yodei tachas kamfei hashchina. We enter into his home. Each of the Ovis prepared that pathway where we can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, each at a particular juncture in time. Shmini Atzeres, say this forum, is the Yichud, Boi V'Nesameach Ani V'Ata. And then comes the darkness, the realities of married life, the reality of a real relationship, where the excitement and the romance and the delight has all gone away, and we have to hold tight and hold strong. And in the winter, in the darkness of winter, we have Chanukah and we have Purim. Purim is 30 days before Pesach. That's already where we're getting the light at the end of the tunnel shines through. V'zichrom le'yosef mizaram, the Gemara tells us that all the Chagim Uzmanim will be betelim. They'll be eclipsed by the Oyer, by the tremendous light that we will experience at the end of time. But V'yimei HaPurim will never be B'telim La'olam. Because in Purim, when that final light is revealed, we're able to see when it was La'yehudim Hoysa Oyer V'simcha V'sasim V'kar, they saw with great clarity how all the events and all the Hasta Aster and all the darkness that preceded were all contributing to the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence at the end of time, and they were all integral to it. But Chanukah is in the depths of winter. It connects Chodesh Kislev and Chodesh Teves, Chofo Shel Sov, the darkness and the coldest time of the winter. And it's there in Chanukah where we connect to the little dancing flame of the menorah, and we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence penetrates Lamata Me'asorah, it permeates even the darkness and shines through. Each day we add another light, we're climbing, the light is growing, we're coming closer and closer to the Olam HaShmini, the time where we will all be raised above Teva. And so every tradition and every minute that we have on Chanukah is meaningful and purposeful. Minag Yisrael Kodeshu. On Chanukah, we spin the dreidel, and as we know, on the dreidel we have the letters Nun, Gimel, Shin, Hey, an acronym for Nes, Godul, Hoyosham. And the Bnei Yisrael tells us if we add up these letters, it adds up Nun, Gimel, Shin, Hey, to the same gematria as Nachash and Mashiach. 358. because the world is spinning seemingly randomly, without purpose on its axis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is concealed, but we understand it's flowing from the chet of the Nochash HaKadmoini, from the sin of Adam Arishon when the world was plunged into darkness, all the way until the Yomos HaMashiach, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light will be revealed and we will realize, all of us with great clarity, that He was the one that was spinning the world and bringing everything together from up above. And so we all have a very important lesson to imbibe and absorb from this parasha. Each of us have a pekel, challenges, struggles. That's the stuff of life. That's what it's all about. Some may be financial, some may be with sagittal bonum, some of us may struggle with relationships, some of us may struggle with health, some of us may feel the pain and suffering of other people. But we have to know and absorb and understand that that is down here on this world. But there will come a time where we will realize and understand that everything we experience is meaningful and purposeful. The emunos chabalelus, we cherish and we hold on to that emuna, that ultimately, yiboka kashacha oirecha, we will understand how everything that happens in our lives is purposeful, is meaningful, and is leading us closer to the Melech HaMashiach.